2011 was a tumultuous year, not just for governments and activist groups, but also for the reporters and media that cover them. Joining us now is Delphine Algon, the Washington, D.C. Director of Reporters Without Borders. Her group has just issued this year's Global Index report on press freedoms, and we have provided a link to the full report on our show page at WNYC.org. Delphine, welcome to our show for today's Backstory segment.
Thank you for having me.
This year, the United States dropped 27 spots on your list. We're in a tie at number 47 with Argentina and Romania. Why such a sharp decline? And Romania?
So, it's, you know, the index is not made to compare really like countries by countries, but maybe to alert on what are our concerns for each country, in a sense. And what is interesting is actually, as you said, the fall of 27 places. And how we explain that, it's mostly because of a large number of journalists who were arrested when they were covering the Occupy movements, and even sometimes they were exposed to police brutality and even charged. And so that's the biggest reason of this decline. But it's also because we have like kind of old concern which weren't addressed by the administration, and we wanted to remind to the U.S. in a sense that the protection of sources is still a big issue. Like, there's no federal shield law in the U.S. that could allow journalists to protect their sources. And as you know, the protection of sources is crucial in the work of journalists. And when I'm thinking of this case, I'm like thinking of the case of the New York Times reporter James Risen, who is asked right now to testify about his confidential sources. So the protection of sources stays a big source of concern for us, but also the access to information, the access to official information, could still be difficult for journalists. And we have also concerns on like legislation who can appear, like SOPA and PIPA, that we heard a lot about it last week.
Although they're kind of dead at the moment.
Yes.
But you think that they may be revived?
But they're still on. You know, the vote were delayed, but they're still they're still there, so we have to follow carefully what will happen.
Do you also consider the situation involving non-journalists who work with journalism? Critics have accused the Obama administration of waging a war on whistleblowers. It has charged more people with violating the Espionage Act than all previous administrations combined. Why do you think the White House is relying so heavily on a law that dates back to World War I?
Yeah, you're right. The Obama's administration has initiated 5 prosecutions of alleged leakers under the Espionage Act, and that is the highest number under any administration. So if your question is why, I guess it's because they are still very focused on the national security issue, and they think that it represents a danger. But we are on our side very concerned about such aggressivity against the freedom of information.
Well, would something like the recent indictment of a former CIA agent for releasing information on waterboarding be a reason for this kind of drop?
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things factor in. It's not just the journalists, because as far as the Occupy Wall Street situation is concerned, there were 25 journalists who complained about being treated very poorly at the hands of the police. But there are journalists in other parts of the world who are being arrested and killed by the regimes in power.
Yeah, and don't worry, the United States are not at all at the bottom of our index. You know, you're right. The situation in other countries is so much worse. And like as you said, in some country, journalists are killed every year. Like Pakistan is the deadliest country for journalists. Last year, 10 journalists were killed in Pakistan. But closer to us, in Mexico. In Mexico, I think 5 journalists were killed last year. So, of course, the situation in the U.S. is not the worst, but we wanted to highlight some of our concerns.
In the case of course, go ahead.
Yeah. No. So we wanted by our index to highlight some of our concern in the U.S., but of course our priority is not at all to defend journalists in the U.S. Like, situation are so much worse in like Middle East countries or Asian countries, and of course our daily work is mostly focused on countries like Burma, North Korea, or actually a lot. We had a lot of work with this year in the Middle East with the crackdown that we observed, and never has freedom of information been so closely associated with democracy, and many media paid like dearly for their coverage of democratic aspirations. So, you know, we saw a lot of bigger change in a sense in our index in the Middle East, and sometimes in the good way and sometimes in a bad way. Like, we observe some real improvement in Tunisia, by example, but at the opposite, the situation in Bahrain is completely going in the wrong direction. So we can maybe say, yes, the U.S. fell 27 places, and we have real concerns about the situation in the U.S., but there are much worse concerns in other countries.
Although many of those countries you mentioned get a lot of support from the United States.
Yes, like Bahrain.
And Pakistan. Does it matter whether the oppression is coming from, the killings are coming from the government or from other places? For example, in Mexico, it's gangs who are killing reporters for revealing what they do. In a country like Russia, it's unclear whether the government is actually behind the assassination of reporters, or whether it's it's groups who right-wing groups or left-wing groups who are angered by what the reporters have been doing. Does it matter? As long is the real issue just how unsafe it is for the journalist in a country?
Yes, it's like, that's why it's hard to compare the situation country by country exactly, because as you say, this danger can come from different sources. In Mexico, the danger comes in a sense when journalists are covering corruption or drug cartels. And in Russia, yes, it's unclear, but there's certainly a really cyber security online, which is really which raised a lot of concerns. And in Russia, it's mostly like a campaign against impunity when journalists are murdered, and like and it's a big work to try to understand or to reveal what really happened when a journalist was killed.
My guest is Delphine Algan, the Washington, D.C. director of Reporters Without Borders. This morning, our NPR's Morning Edition aired a report about the threats faced by journalists in Turkey and pointed out that more journalists in Turkey are in prison than in Burma. I thought Turkey was being held up as an example for other countries in the Middle East as a bastion of democracy.
Yes, that's we all consider, in a sense, Turkey as a model of state, like a modern Muslim country. But we have to look really carefully their human rights record, and most particularly the situation of the press these last years, which is not going in the good direction. Like, there's a very concerning situation. We can, even if, you know, in Turkey, like, there's a real energy in the media and very diversity in the media, but we noticed that there's a real escalation in the judicial harassment of journalists. And there's a real climate of intimidation in the media. Like, you have a real risk to be arrested in Turkey if you're doing your job as a journalist and if you want to cover, like, terrorist issue, and it's really important to point in the case of Turkey that the judicial system is playing a really important role in the intimidation of journalists, because like dozens of journalists were jailed before being tried, and if you just hear the court decisions or the hearings, you just realize how ridiculous could be the judicial system when it involves like journalists. And I'm talking like about last week there was a decision about the murder of a really famous investigative journalist, and it just looks ridiculous how the judicial system works in Turkey when it refers to journalist cases. So well, it's really a big source of concern.
Well, it's not just Turkey.
Turkey is a model.
Well, it's not just Turkey. The courts are complicit in many of the situations you're writing about, including in this country. Overall, would you say that 2011 was a bad year for press freedoms around the world? Because in your report, you say crackdown was the word of the year.
Yes, and it's true. I guess it was, in a sense, a good year because we saw a lot of democratic aspirations who took shape, who became reality. But it wasn't an easy work, and I guess that journalists suffered a lot in this transition. And even if in some countries there were like democracy was achieved in a sense, there it's still fragile, and we have to be careful how the situation will evolve. Like I'm thinking in Tunisia, by example, journalists are so much more free now, but
they moved up 30 places on your list.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the country where we noticed the really an emergence of real pluralism of opinion in the print media and the end just of the massive internet filtering also. But the recent appointments of a person with links to the old regime to run the state own media underscored the danger of a return to the past. So we still have to be very careful. But we just opened actually a Reporters Without Borders office in Tunis. So we will follow the situation really from the ground. So we have good hopes.
Many people credit or blame Al Jazeera for playing a major role in the Arab Spring. Has that network changed attitudes about what journalists in the Middle East can say or report on?
Yeah, it's interesting to think of the role of Al Jazeera during this uprising. And first, I really want to say that Al Jazeera played a really positive role in the Middle East because the TV channel was a very efficient and provide a fast free flow of information in Tunisia or in Egypt. But, and it's a real but too, the TV channel played maybe too much the role of like the opposition spokesperson in mostly in the Arab speaking channel. And this political position made the channel lost sometimes its neutrality, so its credibility. And yeah, we we cannot forget that sometimes Al Jazeera seems to follow maybe too much the interest of the Qatari foreign policy. And I'm thinking of like their late coverage of the Syria crackdowns, or like their bad coverage of the crackdowns in Bahrain. So it's we have to be to highlight some contrast in the role that Al Jazeera played, but I guess it was really interesting.
Because in Bahrain, they were following the wishes of the head of Qatar, who bankrolls them. So they've become politicized to some degree. On the other hand, in places like Syria, Al Jazeera is prohibited, and the internet is closely monitored. And we saw during the demonstrations in Egypt that Hosni Mubarak tried to use an internet kill switch to slow down and stop communications there. His regime was very hostile to foreign reporters as the revolution reached its peak. Has the military council, which took over after Mubarak was thrown from office, been similarly hostile to the press and social media?
Yes, actually, the Supreme Council of the Armed Force continued the same attitude towards the media. So that's why you can see that Egypt plummeted 39 places in our index. So
it's worse than it was under Mubarak now?
I'm not thinking of worse, but I'm thinking it's not better at all. Mm. And there, as you say, foreign journalists could be in a dangerous situation, and journalists are arrested and sometimes beaten and charged. And we just had a great news like 2 days ago, but with the release of a blogger, and it was a great news. Michael Nabil Sanad, he was freed after being held for 10 months. And he was freed not because he was not guilty anymore. He was freed because of an amnesty. And he was charged. His charge was insulting, was because he is supposed to have insulted the armed force on his blog. And he was in jail for 10 months for that. So I cannot say that the situation is worse or better, but it's still really, really not what is supposed to be in a country which aspires to democracy.
Well, these rankings are very fluid. In 2005, the United States plunged all the way to 53. We were talking about dropping 27 spots this year to 47. So we go up and down. There are some countries that remain pretty stable. The countries in Northern Europe top your list, and North Korea and Eritrea at the bottom.
Yes, that's right. It's a kind of the paradise for journalists stay the same, as you say. It's mostly not where it's so sunny and warm, but it's the top of our list stay mostly the same with Finland, Norway, Netherlands, Iceland, Austria, and the bottom of our list where totalitarian dictatorships stay also. So it's like Eritrea that we don't think so much, but Eritrea is really a bad country for any kind of freedom. North Korea, Turkmenistan, and Syria, Iran, China, Bahrain, and Vietnam that we also sometimes see more like a touristic destination, but we don't have to forget that
Delphine,
it's a really dangerous country for journalists.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Delphine Algan, the Washington, D.C. Director of Reporters Without Borders.